Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Collin.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
LJ, Happy New Year. We've got a big...
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's great to be back. We've got a big, big 2 months ahead for The Scoop. And of course the cricketers, the Aussie team. WNCL, as we know, is back. We've got a World Cup squad ready for Operation Threepeat, and the Aussies are back in action this month against Pakistan. So that's actually next week. We've also got an Under-19 World Cup coming up, so there's heaps happening. On the show today, we've got Erin Osborne, who is coaching the Under-19 World Cup squad over in South Africa. So Aussie filled us in around everything that's been going on in South Africa ahead of that tournament getting underway on Saturday. But firstly, LJ, wanted to hear a little bit about the return of WNCL. A few things we need to address. Firstly, return of the GOAT, Meg Lanning. You were there down at Junction Oval. How was it to see Meg back in the navy blue playing cricket again?
It was just an absolute joy, I think, for everyone there. It was just, you know, we all maybe thought, will we see Meg bat again?
Yeah.
And then just to see her out there, particularly with that 61 she hit in the second match, just some classic Meg Lanning shots, and it was just awesome to see between her and Georgia Wareham coming back. There was just so much excitement to see those two back on the field.
So good. I mean, it feels a little bit like the world is just right again.
It does.
And Elise Perry, back-to-back hundreds for Victoria at a really good clip as well. Do we go as far to say that Pez is in the form of her life heading into the T20 World Cup?
I think in terms of short form batting, she's found another level.
Yeah.
They were T20 innings she was playing.
That's awesome.
Like they were her two fastest list 800s ever, I think, or two of her top three. And chanceless. Like, I don't think she got dropped at all. Maybe when she was going nuts towards the end of that chase in the second match and throwing everything at trying to get the bonus point. But she offered no chances, basically, other than potential runouts.
Yeah.
She was playing all sorts of shots. Like, she saw her play a ramp. She was just pulling out all her tricks and looked like she's just having fun.
Elise Perry with the ramp shot.
How much she could push herself.
How good.
It was just so good to watch. She's on another level.
Yeah, and particularly coming off her form in India as well. I think we saw two Pez knocks in the 70s in India last year. So pretty stern warning for the rest of the world as the Aussies head into the World Cup.
Yeah, and I really... looking forward to seeing how she goes in this one-day series against Pakistan and how she approaches that, because she'll probably get more time in the middle than what she can count on in the T20s.
Yeah.
Whether she comes out and tries to replicate the way she was batting against New South Wales, that'd be really cool to see.
Oh, yeah, fingers crossed. That'd be a sight for all us Aussie fans. The other big ticket item that came through earlier this week was a World Cup squad. So... as we know, the Aussies are heading over to South Africa to go for the three-peat. So they're looking for their third T20 World Cup trophy in a row over in South Africa. A couple of notable ins. So we've got Georgia Wareham, after a pretty long injury layoff. She's back in the squad. Kim Garth comes in, Heather Graham as well, and then coming out of the squad, we've got Amanda Jade Wellington, who came over to India at last minute. Phoebe Litchfield misses out, as well as Nicola Carey, who's been around for a couple of years. So, LJ, what did you think? Were you pretty shocked to see Georgia Wareham coming back into the fold?
Yeah, I think that was definitely the big talking point, wasn't it? I love Georgia Wareham. I love Amanda Jade Wellington. I would have been stoked to see either of them in the squad and equally shattered for whichever one wasn't there. And Wolfie has got such an incredibly good record in international cricket, but it was, I think, surprising to see them include her off the back of just two WNCL matches. Hasn't played a T20 since October 2021. Maybe she's just more that they're seen as being the backup for Alana King. I'm not sure, but I do think it's a huge call to bring in someone who hasn't played a T20 match for so long over someone who has been in really, really good form domestically, like Wallow has been. What did you think of that call?
I was equally shocked. As you said, Wellow's been dominating WBBL. She's been playing domestic cricket over in New Zealand. We saw her in the Super Over get the game across the line for South Australia the other day. So, I was shocked. But at the same time, Georgia Wareham, as Shelley Nitschke said in her press conference the other day, Georgia Wareham was a really integral part of that team before she got injured. She's a World Cup winner. She was there. She was in the team when they lifted the trophy at the MCG, so she's had that experience. So, I'm as you said, similarly, love both the leggies. I was happy to see Wolfie back in the team, but no doubt tough for Wellow. But I'm sure there's plenty of good to come for Wellow on the horizon as well. The other one, Heather Graham, I guess, comes in a little bit for Nicola Carey. Was that, I guess, coming off Heather Graham's form in India, probably not a surprise?
Yeah, I think once she was getting picked ahead of Carey in that series, it sort of got a sense of where the pecking order might have reshuffled to in the eyes of the selectors. Yep. When she got left out the one day side for instead of Carey, that did make me wonder. But I think when Heather got picked to play, I think four of those matches in India versus Carey's one, I think you started to get a sense if one of them was going to miss out, it was probably going to be Nicola Carey. And same with Phoebe Litchfield. I think Meg coming back in was probably the decisive thing there. Yeah. Someone had to go out.
But that's okay. I mean, I guess from Phoebe's perspective, it would have been awesome for her to have that experience over in India. And I don't think any of us have any doubt that she's got a long, long international career ahead of her.
Yeah, and a red hot chance to make her one day debut in the next couple of weeks against Pakistan. Yep. She could be put up the top of the order with Lisa Healy not playing.
Yep.
Maybe she comes into the middle and someone else goes up, but surely we see her make a one-day debut.
Yeah, definitely very exciting. Yep, so that leads us to our next point, which is that the Aussies are back in action on Monday, which is exciting. So we've got a home series against Pakistan, first ODI at Allen Border Field, and then the T20s get underway the next Tuesday, I believe. So it'll be some pretty crucial practice for the Aussies before the World Cup. What do you think, LJ? You'll be there. What do you think the Aussies will be keen to get out of this series?
Yeah, really, really good question. This will be the first matches of the new championship cycle. Australia have had to wait a little bit to get this championship underway. So I guess walking away with full points will be the number one priority from that. Yep. They want to make it sure it's 3 out of 3 wins for the championship tally. And maybe the chance to blood some different one-day players who could, be part of the next cycle, like Phoebe Litchfield. Even Kim Garth is probably going to make her Australian debut. Plenty of experience for Ireland, but an Australian debut in the format too. What do you want to see the Aussies get out of it?
I guess they'll just be looking to get a bit of cricket under their belt, like a bit of cricket in the green and gold, and just maybe work out some combinations ahead of the T20 World Cup. So I think they'll definitely be, as you said, that they look to win every game. So I think for fans, you're going to see some really good cricket. So if you're around in Brisbane, Sydney, Hobart or Canberra, strongly recommend heading to cricket.com.au/tickets to grab some tickets for one of those games if you can. One of the other benefits is there's no more COVID restrictions at any of these matches. So the Aussie girls will be back signing autographs and meeting the fans after all their matches. So that's another big reason to get down and come and meet your heroes and farewell the girls before they head to South Africa. The next one that we need to talk about is the Under-19 World Cup. So the Aussies are in South Africa. Erin Osborne will tell us plenty more about this later on in the show, but the Aussies campaign gets underway on the 14th of January. So I think that's a Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's Saturday night, 7 p.m.
Saturday night, 7 p.m.
Perfect timing.
dream time slot. So we're pretty confident that all these, all the Aussie matches at least will be shown on Foxtel and KO. But yeah, next up we've got Aaron Osborne, who will fill us in about how the squad's tracking. They've had a few warm-up matches against India already, and then one against South Africa tonight, I believe. So Aussie fills us in about the squad and how they're all going. They went on a safari in South Africa yesterday, so I think they're pumped and ready to go for the first ever Under-19 World Cup. So hope you enjoy the chat, and yeah, can't wait for the rest of the Aussie summer to get underway. Aaron Osborne, former Aussie spinner but now coach over in South Africa, taking charge of the Aussie Under-19 squad for the first ever Under-19s World Cup that you're at now, Oz. Firstly, how important do you think this tournament is going to be in terms of the development of this next generation of Aussie players?
Thanks, Em. It's crucial. I think developing pathways all around the world to ensure the longevity of the women's game. And yeah, credit to the ICC for putting on an event and for all the countries agreeing how important it is.
And so you've got, what, 15 or so 19-year-old girls over there. What's, like, if you think back to the start of your career when you were a 19-year-old coming through pathway crickets, what's changed? What's different about this next generation compared to when you look back on your young start to your career?
They're strong. They're athletics. Yeah. Our bowling unit really excites me. We've got some really fast bowlers, and I'm looking forward to unleashing them in the competition. And the batting group is really skillful. They hit long balls, and they've got a really good touch game. So I think the skill set has developed so rapidly. So I'm really looking forward to where this group gets.
And as a coach, how do you approach it? I mean, is there a slightly different approach required for coaching underage teams to what you might do, say, with senior teams?
I think the only real difference is probably just providing a little bit more guidance. At the end of the day, I still want them to make decisions, to make mistakes and to learn from it. But I think at such a young age, you know, we've got Maggie, who's only 15, so she's still learning her game. So I feel like the coaching group still needs to provide a little bit more guidance and education, probably around more the recovery. And you know, they've got so much energy and they're so excited to be in a new country that sometimes we just need to pull them back a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, as we said, like, a bunch of 19-year-old girls traveled across the world to South Africa for the first ever Under-19s World Cup. Like, surely these girls are pumped. Like, are they absolutely, like, in a bit of disbelief that they've been able to do this?
Yeah, for many of them, it's the first time outside the country. So I think, you know, they're super excited. They had a really long plane ride, so they got a lot of team bonding done on that trip. But, I think as a staff, we sort of need to get that balance right. Like, cricket's important and we want...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Them to, you know, perform really well, but they're in a new country. We want them to learn as much about South Africa as we possibly can. We want to provide opportunities to experience the country where possible. So, you know, yesterday we went on a safari trip, and that was amazing. You know, the quietest the group has been because this massive elephants just walked straight past our bus and they weren't allowed to talk. So we probably need a few more elephants around the group, but just experiences like that, I think, and getting that balance right will be really important.
Yeah, incredible. And did most of these girls, like most of these young girls, do they sort of know each other through coming through the pathways, even though they're from different parts of the country in different states?
They know of each other. Like, they've played a little bit against each other in the national championships, but it's actually the first time that they've been together. So we had a two-day camp in Sydney prior to flying to South Africa, and they played their first match against India a couple of days ago. So they've come a long way. They're gelling really well, which has certainly made my life easy. And they're really well led by Reece McKenna and Claire Moore as well. So the group's flying at the moment. I'm really looking forward to watching them play today at a practice match against South Africa and then kick-starting off our tournament against Bangladesh.
Nice. And what's sort of been the vibe amongst the group? Like, what kind of atmosphere is it? Are they a chatty bunch of kind of regular 19-year-old girls?
Yeah, they're super loud. And, yeah, like, we've had quiz nights and it got out of hand. There's so much energy within the group. They're loving it. There's always a smile on their face. They're getting up to a little bit of mischief, which is always good. It's just a really nice group to be around.
Could you have imagined yourself as a 19-year-old heading off to a World Cup in South Africa?
Well, no, not in the pathway system. I think, you know, to see cricket come so far, we're providing opportunities for pathway players to experience, I guess, different parts of the world. It's incredible to think we've come that far. And yeah, I don't ever remember being that loud though.
Wow, that's hilarious. And we saw on social media a couple of days ago that the girls were presented their World Cup caps by Alyssa Healy. Were you there for that?
Yeah, it was such a great moment. One of the girls, Paris Bowdless, is a massive, massive fan of Alyssa Healy. So she could hardly sort of look her in the eyes and sort of say, thanks for giving my hat. So, and we tried to sort of push her to go have a conversation, but she was just too nervous. So, that was an awesome experience for the girls. Really lucky to have Midge come along and present the hat and just provide a little bit of advice, I guess, and share her experiences of playing in World Cups.
Yeah, nice. What sort of things did Midge have to share with the girls?
I think it was more sort of just enjoying the moment, embracing a new culture, and just sort of mentioning that there's going to be sort of roller coasters, there'll be ups and downs in a World Cup, and just to embrace them, to learn and have as much fun as possible.
And so how long have you been there now? A week or so?
Yeah, I've been here about a week now, so we've settled into Joburg.
Yeah. Nice. So we know you had the warm-up against India the other day and got another one against South Africa today. But apart from that, what else has been going on? Like, have you been hitting the training track pretty hard? Or apart from the safari, any other rest days?
Yeah, we've sort of tried to manage the loads. There's still kids at the end of the day and we don't want to burn them out early in the competition. So we've had a couple of, pretty heavy training days. And then we've got a couple of practice matches and putting in a few rest days in there as well where we can sort of get out and experience South Africa. So, yeah, the safari, looking to go to the Apartheid Museum on Thursday just to learn about the culture and history of South Africa. So, and then get stuck in on the 14th of Jan.
How good. And give us a bit of a lowdown from the warm-up against India. I mean, we looked at the scorecard. It seemed like a pretty low-scoring affair and we saw there were even 5 run-outs.
Yeah, there were a lot of run-outs in that game. The wicket was a slow wicket, and so was the outfielders. We played at a school, and they've hosted us really well, so we knew what to expect. They were tough batting conditions, and I thought we did well. There was lots of positives to take out of that game. I thought we fielded pretty well, and our bowling was pretty disciplined in restricting India to 98. And then with the batting, it's more just reading the game and the awareness, and we probably just got a bit behind the run rate where on grounds in Australia we could probably comfortably chase at 7s or 8s, whereas that ground and India bowling 17 overs of spin, it made it difficult to sort of go at more than a run a ball. So it was a really good learning curve, and I think the pleasing thing from that, it's not a skill set that we're worried about, it's a small change in just the mindset and then making sure we just keep closer to the run rate for longer.
Yeah, nice. So let's have a quick look at this Aussie team and how they're building towards the start of this tournament. So if you look at the squad as a whole, like what would you think, what would you say the strengths of the team and what do they do well as a collective?
I think our pace attack really excites me. We've got some experienced ones in Reece McKenna who will lead the team and bowls a heavy ball. Chloe Ainsworth from Perth, she's bowling at that 110, 115. And then Millie Illingworth from Victoria, she's got a slinging action. It's almost like a Sean Tate action, and she's quick and has got a good bumper. And Lucy Hamilton from Queensland. So we've got a nice, pace attack that are just rapid. And then we've got some little medium paces in there that lots of variations. And then, variations in our spin attack. We've got two leggies, a left arm orthodox and an off spinner. So I think we've got variety in our bowling attack, and we've got some raw pace, which is super exciting.
If you had to pick a couple of match winners in the team, who would you name?
I think Chloe Ainsworth. She bowls a heavy ball, and her batting, actually, she hits the ball a long way. And probably Ella Haywood. I think she's a smart cricketer. She'll play a role in the middle with the bat and play a pivotal role with the ball as well. And obviously, having experience playing in the Big Bash, she'll be important to our team.
And what about like any sort of underrated player with a bit of X factor about them?
Oh, I can't go past Millie Illingworth. I just think she's quick. She's got a good bumper. She's super competitive. She's not overly tall, but just a unique action. So I'm looking forward to seeing her being unleashed on South Africa today.
Yeah, nice. Oh, all sounds very exciting. And having sort of scouted a little bit around the teams in the tournament, who do you reckon is going to be the most dangerous opposition that you'll come up against?
I think India. They've got a couple of players that play in the women's international team, and Burma and Gotch, and they've been here since the 24th of December. So they've put a lot of time and effort in I guess giving themselves every chance of succeeding in this World Cup. Yeah, it's a long time for under-19-year-olds to be in another country, but that'll be a good challenge for us.
Oh, that's especially a long time for the likes of Shefali and Richard to keep going.
Yeah, well, you think they've got here since the 24th of December playing in the under-19 World Cup, and then playing probably in the Open. Yeah, it'll be a huge stint in South Africa.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, we've seen a few of these girls in the WBBL, so we'll have a few familiar names, but the likes of Ella Haywood, Amy Smith, Jade Allen as well. How do you reckon the experience that these girls have had in the WBBL will help them in a big tournament like this?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think to play with and against some of the world's best and understand as well what it's like to play in tournament play. I think that's going to be really crucial, and they're such a good bunch of girls as well. They're willing to share that experience and offer information to the young girls coming through who might not necessarily have had that experience. So the group is gelling so well, and I'm just super excited to see them go deep in this tournament.
So we've got the first game to look forward to against Bangladesh on Saturday, so that will be available for Aussie fans to watch on Foxtel and KO, which is very exciting for us back home. But what's on the agenda before then, Oz? I know we've got practice game against South Africa, but what's sort of the message to the team to get ready for that first game?
I think we're trying to keep it as simple as we possibly can. All we're asking is that from every opportunity we play games, we learn from. So the group will play today. They'll pick up on areas of improvement, and then we'll look to implement that in the games. But it's a really simple plan, clear and concise, and it's more about just going out and backing their skill set and having fun along the way.
And last question, is anyone sticking around for the Senior World Cup that's also in South Africa later on in February?
Well, our manager, Charlotte Mahoney, and myself have offered our services, just for a week or so. We'll sort of introduce the girls to the surroundings, get a chance to go to the beach, because I think they're near the beach where we're not. So we've offered our services, but I'm not sure that's going to be accepted.
Oh, surely. Maybe you can get the win. Nice. Oh, it was so great to chat to you, Oz. We wish you and the under-19s girls all the best for this, historic tournament. Yeah, and you got all the support from all the Aussie fans back home. So go well.
Thanks, Sam.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Donaldson strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.